I guess you've realised, because we have a Mother's Day celebration, it's because we think it's important to honour mothers. And we do the same thing on Father's Day, and we honour fathers, which is good as well. There are some people who say, oh, it was just an invention of commercialisation to sell cards and gifts. Well, I'm thankful it is there. And I'm thankful over 100 years ago they established Mother's Day in the US, and then we started to do it in Australia. And I think it's a very important part of our culture. I think Mother's Day is every day of the year, but we only celebrate one day of the year. And so I want to say to all mothers, we love you. We think you're great. We think that there's wonderful days ahead for you. I'm praying for just wonderful days, whether you're a mother of young children now, maybe you'll be a mother of grandchildren one day, whatever. But be a mother, not only to your own children, let it out. Be a mother to others, because there's kids out there who don't have mothers like you, who could be blessed if you were in their life or you could speak into their life. Is that true? I think it is. Well, my wife said to me, don't be too serious on Mother's Day. And I only know how to be serious, as you know. And therefore, I would like to just show you a few funnies to kick off with. And then we'll get into the serious business after that. I hope you can read the slogans on them. Can you read that one? You see it from the back? Can you read that from the back, Kane? You got it? Okay. Good. Next one. It's not easy being a mum. If it were, Dad would do it. Next one. Today we honour cooks, nurses, chauffeurs, counsellors, teachers, maids and referees. In other words, mumps. Next one. The little girl says to her mother, Mum, what's it like to have the greatest daughter in the world? Mum says, I don't know, dear. You'll have to ask Grandma. Mothers are so smart. Next one. If you want your kids to call you on Mother's Day, post something embarrassing about them on Facebook. Next one. Being a mum is a full-time job and raising your kids can be hard. But look at it this way. If you hadn't had us, you wouldn't be getting this card. Happy Mother's Day. Kids said, we wrote it ourselves. Yeah, we knew that. Okay, next one. So this is a human resources section of motherhood. And the lady says, one vacation day a year, that's all I get. Well, we call it Mother's Day, but technically you still have to work. Next one. Mums, they're like dads, only smarter. Is there one after this? Is that the last one? No. Little girls poking under the bed. Are you coming out anytime soon, Mum? Any more? No, that's it. Okay. Well, we get the funnies out of the way. Now we'll get serious. This is a great day. And I love celebrating Mother's Day. I think it's an opportunity not only to express to, and I'm talking to husbands, express to our wives, thanks for being our wives and being the mother of our children, but also for children. And I want to encourage you men, always encourage your kids to honour their mother, to give gifts, to whatever it is. Slip them 50, say, go and buy a lovely present for mum, whatever it is. Let's do the right thing. And it'll come back on you, I promise you. You'll be blessed if you'll do that. And we want to make sure that women do feel very much appreciated. And in this church, we declare it. I have a naughty book in which I write down the name of all the men who haven't given their wives a Mother's Day card this morning. So I want to just say you've still got about 8 hours till the shops close. You can go and make it happen. Alrighty. Okay. I want to read a scripture out of Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. So it's quite a long scripture, but have we got it on the screen? Yep. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. So that's profit, no lack of profit. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. So that means she goes to the gym. And she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stays up late at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. Ladies, you've been doing any of that lately? She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes a tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple, always clean and well-pressed. Her husband is known in the gates where he sits among the elders of the land. Just note that. She's working hard and he's sitting in the gates. Isn't that the story, men, sometimes, of us? Ooh, it's quiet out there. Women, you can speak back to me. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honour are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she works hard. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. I agree. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. I don't want to mock the scripture this morning, so please understand my heart. But when I read that, I mean, it was just exhausting to read it, let alone for this woman to be doing it. Ladies, do you feel worn out thinking about that? This woman gets up before sun in the morning in the dark. She doesn't go to bed. A lamp doesn't go out. She's up late doing probably the accounts for the whole system. Her husband sits in the gate, having a great time with the men, cups of tea, cups of coffee, all the other things that go with it, while she's working hard, running the business, raising the kids, running the household. Let me say this to you. I don't know what, this is written by King Lemuel. I don't know why it's in Proverbs. I'm not sure why God put it there, because to impose this on any woman is outrageous, to say that they have to work like that. I'm gathering that this lady probably died in a young age of exhaustion because of all that she had to do. It was exhausting to do all of that. And I'm saying to you ladies this morning, I'm not going to put that on you. You don't deserve that, nor does, I guess, any man. It's amazing we don't have one for men in there. I guess it teaches him how to sit in the gates, how to hold his cup of coffee, how to relax, how to not worry about his wife working so hard. I don't know. Come on. I'm just kidding you, but you hear what I'm saying this morning. What is there is intimidating for women. And I've heard women preach out of that, and that's not a problem, because they bring out points and bring clarity to ladies. But I'm just saying, when I read that, I think that's unrealistic. And I know, you know, God included in scripture, and I'm wondering why, because I just think that that puts on women such a weight of expectation that is not fair. All righty, I have 4 points this morning. And during those points, I also have a comment called stop sign, at which we look at reality. So the first thing is, I'm only preaching one sermon this morning, and the first thing I want to share with you, in fact, if you weren't here last Sunday, you need to look on YouTube and hear Pastor Ben preach 5 sermons in 20 minutes. Was outstanding. What he shared was really good. And because he was on time constraint, he couldn't drop a lot of fluff in it and make a mess of it. He just stuck to the script, brought it out there. It all went well. Okay, I'm doing 4 points and they'll be moving quickly. The first thing, how to live godly in an ungodly world. The first is expectations. A woman gets married, you know, enjoys the honeymoon, and then it's back to reality of running a home, you know, cleaning the house, shopping, adjusting. She probably has a full-time job as well. And so that a woman takes on a fair challenge in there. And then come children and all the demands that go with that. The young wife and the mother puts expectations on herself of how she should be the perfect mother. The house should always be clean. How can you have a clean house if you've got kids? It's incompatible. Until they grow up and you can beat them up a little and get them to clean their rooms. Oh, I mean, children cleaning their rooms? No, that doesn't happen. That's a dream. Somebody dreamed that up. I didn't see King Lemuel put it in there, but it's probably one of his sort of thoughts as well. There's a lot of demands and a lot of expectations. And sometimes those expectations come from other people. Your husband might say, you know, you've had a bunch of kids, and he might say, you need to lose weight. What a lousy thing to say. You know, women's bodies change when they have babies, and they you know, they've got to carry a lot. And men, I'm saying to you, be realistic. If we had to go through, I met a mother the other day. The baby was 2 days old, and she's out of hospital, and she was at this childcare centre there. And I said to her husband, gosh, if that had been you or I, we'd spend a month in hospital before we came out. We wouldn't be able to stand it. Laugh. Loosen up, guys. Pick up on my humour. So, you know, expectations come, maybe from peers, maybe from their mothers or mothers-in-laws, even their kids put expectations on mums and they try to fulfil it. Why? Because they've got such a heart to give and heart to do. Here's the stop sign. I want to say, examine your expectations in the light of reality and in the light of prayer. Don't just take what other people say you've got to do. Don't fall into that. If you do, you'll always be under the weight of expectation. I should be doing. I could be doing. I shouldn't be sitting down here having a cup of coffee. I should be, you know, cleaning the house, doing the what. Don't do that. Take time. Don't let expectations rule you. The second thing is comparisons. These hurt. What happens in our society? We're bombarded with images. And I'm talking to women this morning. If you watch a TV show, if you open a brochure from, you know, one of the shops, you open social media, here's all these gorgeous people. They just look so wonderful. Their makeup is perfect. Everything, you know, their eyelashes are that, their nails are that, and so on. And you're trying to raise kids? That's unrealistic. And you've got to come to grips with that. Don't believe it. It's photoshopped. It's look, they're trying to sell you something. So they've got to present the best that they can do. But don't fall for that, ladies. Hear me this morning. Don't look at these ladies in the movies and say how gorgeous they are. They're just, in my words, make-believe. Yes, there are some people who look like that. There are some people who get made up like that. But do yourself a favour. Go on to Google or wherever you want to go and then type in for images, before and after images or reality images. And in there they have the made up photos of these so-called beautiful people. And then they've got them without makeup. And boy, is there a difference. That's the reality, and that's why you've got to be careful of comparison. But these things are not real. Don't be fooled by it. And look, it's a fact of life. We all changed. I used to be a handsome young man. Now I'm a handsome old man. Well, what are you laughing at? Well, you've got to have a good self-image, haven't you? I tell you what, I was watching some of the coronation last week. And here's all these old guys. And of course, the cameras are mounted high in the cathedral there. And so you can see that they're all grey-haired and they're all losing their hair. I thought, wow, I'm among friends. So why is it some guys have got this great head of hair and they're 90 years of age and it looks like a lion's mane? I thought, well, good luck to them. Some of us didn't qualify for that. So comparisons is what I'm really trying to say. Don't be out there. So stop sign. The world focuses on the outside, but God looks at the heart. The most beautiful woman is not one who has the supposed appearance beauty. To me, the most beautiful women in the world are the ones who are beautiful on the inside. Because if you're beautiful on the inside, it shines to the outside. So I'm not saying you shouldn't. You know, I'm not saying don't dress in rags and don't ever make up and don't comb your hair. I don't mean that. Do what you do. That's great. But don't rely on that to be your beauty. Rely on what's inside you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you have a great opportunity to express the real beauty of life. And so, women, I certainly encourage you to do that. your relationship with Christ give you just a beauty on your life that can't be matched by Hollywood or any other organisation like that. Third thing is lack of love. Mothers are the greatest givers of love to their husband, their children, but they don't stop to love themselves. And because of comparisons and expectations, they tend to, in their own eyes, put their love for themselves down. Now, Jesus said, you have to love yourself. So then I'm saying to you, mothers this morning, love yourself. Love yourself. Do what Jesus said. Realize that if you don't, then you're not going to be what he's called you to be. And take time. Now, let's talk about the stop sign. Because Jesus said, love yourself, you need to take the time to do it. You need to stop. You need to take a few minutes in the morning, perhaps, when the kids are gone, the husband's gone. Have a cup of tea. Just take a few minutes with God. He loves you. And he wants you to love you. And let me tell you this. If you will love yourself, you will have a greater capacity to love your family and to love other people. Do you hear me? When we don't love ourselves, it's hard for us to love other people. But when we take what Jesus said, now I'm not talking about I'm just so wonderful and I love me. No, I don't mean that. It's humility. But because Jesus said, love yourself, take time to do it. Don't let other people shape how you feel about yourself that pulls your love down. Love you. Jesus said to do it. I'm not saying that you should do it. I'm saying what Jesus said for you to do. But if you love yourself, you'll have a greater capacity to love others. You'll feel a sense of peace and life in yourself. Your relationship with God will be healthy. This world is full of challenges. This isn't an easy life. If it is, and you know the secret, please come take the microphone. I'll sit down. It's not easy. There are things that happen. Getting older, there are things that happen. Our bodies change, things come along, all of that kind of stuff. Raising children, that's not easy. In this day and age, it's actually very hard. We need God's help. So love yourself. Don't let anybody take away the love you have for yourself. Do you hear me? Mums, I'm talking to you. The fourth thing this morning is fear of failure. It's a sad byproduct of our culture that defines success in ungodly ways. And we can become slaves to a philosophy that says you've got to be happy. I don't see anywhere in Scripture it says to be happy. It says be joyful, always. That means when adversity comes, we're not going to be happy. Because happy means happenstance, circumstance. Being joyful says, though I face this, I'm going to bring out joy. When Nikki came this morning, there's a lady who knows how to express joy. You should ask the secret for her success. Because she has faced challenges in life. I want to tell you, I'm not going to tell you what they are, but she has. But she lets joy rise in her heart. And that's my encouragement to you, mums. Don't fall for happiness. Then there's a sense of, being rich. We've got to have everything. My kids have got to have everything to appear successful. Obviously being beautiful. We've talked about that before. Living in a wonderful relationship. There is no perfect relationship. I know Ben and Lisa are probably close to perfect and you can ask them for advice. But for the rest of us, it's a challenge, isn't it? And that doesn't mean we've got bad partners. I don't mean that. But we have to work through life and the challenges of life and the things that come and raising kids and doing all those kinds of, maybe, in this day and age now, struggling to pay bills, all of that stuff. There's no perfect relationship. But if you give it all you got, if you'll have a heart for it, and a heart for the other person and express love, that relationship can become strong and face what comes against it. Okay, it's not an easy cruise. It's a constant growing in the Lord. And then, you know, people living a wonderful life, having gorgeous relationships. Let me say this. This will come as a shock to you this morning. TV isn't real. The movies on TV are made up. Read my lips. They're not real. So don't try and think you can live a life like that. You live your life. Be blessed in your life in this role. May I just say, for a stop sign here, and I'm talking to mums, give yourself permission to fail. The Apostle Paul said, I get knocked down. Gosh, if anybody got knocked down in the New Testament that we have there, it was certainly Paul. Whipped, scourged, shipwrecked, you know, stoned. They stoned him to death and he came back to life and then stood up and walked back into town. I mean, this guy went through terrible things. He said, but I don't stay down. I get up. And I want to say, mums, sometimes we don't make a step in life because we fear we'll fail. And I want to say, take a risk in life. Step out there. Peter stepped out of the boat. And you say, but he sank. No, he walked on water first. Then he looked at the waves. He should have kept his eyes on Jesus. But he did walk on water. I haven't walked on water. And to my knowledge, none of you have walked on water except a splash in puddles outside. But take a risk. Don't fear failure. Stand up to it. My wife and I came to Mackay. I had a good job. I was in the ministry in Calvary at the time. I really loved it, loved the kids. We had a couple of hundred kids in our youth group. Loved them, they were like our kids, our children. And God said, go to Mackay. We take a risk in moving. Some of you have moved from other nations to come to Australia. And that was a risk because you could have had a failure in that. And sadly, I know people who've come to Australia, moved here, tried to settle, couldn't settle, went back to the country they came from. So you took a risk, you feared failure and you came there. But I'm talking to mums this morning and let me say this to you. Don't fear failure. Sometimes you've got to take a risk and achieve something. I know that people expect mums to be the anchor in the house and steady. But sometimes mums have got to do something to move ahead for themselves, to move their family ahead. And I'm just encouraging you mothers today, maybe you've got to do that to get from where you are to where you need to be, because God has a destiny on your life. Part of your destiny, of course, is raising children. That is a very, very important task. Very important. But I'm saying to you this morning, don't see yourself raising children, say, I'm not fulfilling God's destiny. Yes, you are. But there's destiny beyond that. God wants to lead you into it. And that might involve in taking a risk and paying a price. And I encourage you to do it. So those are my 4 points this morning: expectations, comparisons, a lack of love, and fear of failure. And I just want to say today how much we appreciate mums. My mum died 8 years ago. She was 2 days short of Mother's Day in 2015. So I had a card already written and I put it in the casket with her so that she could, you know, read it throughout eternity, I guess, whatever. But that doesn't matter. And I appreciate my mum. And I think on a day like today, and perhaps some of you are feeling a certain pain because your mum might be dead. She's passed on. You might be estranged from her for some reason. It could be any number of reasons. But I encourage you, give it to God. Ask God to be the one who heals the hurts, because he does that. He brings life. He brings hope. Don't let it torment you. And if today, for some reason, you're estranged from your mum, I'm going to challenge you. Why don't you try ringing and just saying Happy Mother's Day today? Yes, you may be rejected. Remember I talk about taking a risk? You may be rejected, but at least you've tried. That's the important thing. So this morning, this is what we do in this church every Mother's Day. We invite mothers, grandmothers obviously, to come, but we also invite all women. If you feel comfortable coming, we're going to pray for you this morning, because I see that God has given women, the female sex, as a gift. And we as men need to respect that. And I want to show that respect this morning as we pray. I want to show it as we declare over you the blessing and the glory of God. And so I invite you to come. Ladies, come on out. Young and old. You don't have to be a mum. You just have to be a female. Fantastic. Jack, just look at all these wonderful, wonderful women that are here, isn't it? Doesn't it make your heart glad? It's exciting. I know that you're at different parts of life. Some of you have really young children. Some of you haven't got children yet. Whatever it might be. But here you are today. And in God's sight, He says, He loves you. He loves you. Can you receive that from God this morning? He loves you. Absolutely loves you. He loved you so much that He gave you as a gift to mankind. And I speak on behalf of men. We thank God for that, that He's done that. And so, women this morning, can I just ask you maybe to put an arm on somebody's shoulder or around them, it doesn't matter what, however, take their hand, just that we join together. When I ask the men to do this, it's always a bit awkward, but for women, it's a lot easier, isn't it? Just hold the music for me, guys. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pronounce over you not only the blessing of God, but the grace of God, that you might carry out your roles with His life and His hand upon you. And if there's hurts in your heart, and I just sense there is, any hurts in your heart relating to your relationship with your mum or even your kids, I'm going to ask God, not necessarily to take the hurt away, but to minister, so that by grace you can hold that hurt, you can carry it, but it's not going to have that weight upon you that it did. Alrighty? Men, I want you to believe with me in prayer this morning. In fact, can you just extend your hand towards these ladies? Heavenly Father, we come in just absolute sincerity this morning, thanking you for these godly women that stand before us. Thank you that their lives are a testimony to the wonderful nature that you've given them, and for the grace that you've given them, for the fact that Jesus lives within them, that they can be the special children you have who will fulfill the destiny that you've laid before them. Lord, I speak over them today such a sense of you. If there be hurts, that you would minister to those hurts, that you would take the pain and cause them to be strengthened in the midst of pain, to be able to endure, to have a confidence that God, you have all things in your hand, and that you're bringing all things together for good in their lives. I pray today for mothers, the strength to be mothers, to be grandmothers, the strength to impart to their children, to love them, to pray for them if they've perhaps wandered from the path, the children have wandered from the path, that we can believe that they will turn around and come back to the kingdom of God. So I thank you this morning. I speak over every woman here, the grace of God. May the purpose of God in their lives be so fulfilled. May they experience such a relationship with you, Lord, that joy will arise, that inner beauty will arise, that we as men might look and behold the touch of God's glory upon these women. Father, bless them. Bless them. I speak blessing this morning. I speak blessing this morning. I speak the blessing of life. I speak the blessing of hope. I speak the blessing of your presence. I speak the blessing of your grace. I speak the blessing of mercy, the blessing of eternity, the blessing of the sense of God is with them, being able to live according to your will and purpose. I speak that blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, ladies, may God bless you mightily. We love you. We appreciate you. I'm speaking on behalf of all the men in this church. We do really, really appreciate you. Why don't you hug each other? Give somebody a hug or a handshake, whatever you feel comfortable with. Come on, men, let's honor these women. Come on. Okay, well, this is a house of honour, but it's also a house where we get to enjoy tea and coffee, and this morning we've got some special treats for Mother's Day. Now, perhaps, Ben, we could just let the ladies move in first there, and if you've got kids, maybe you can just hold them back for a minute. So, mothers, can you go and get tea and coffee, get a piece of cake or get something, just be blessed today, enjoy some fellowship, encourage each other with an encouraging word, and may the grace of God rest upon you each one. God bless you. Go with Him. In Jesus' name, amen.